I can't hear anything. Oh,
hello. Can you hear me?
I can't hear anything.
Oh. Can you hear me anyway? Okay, good.
Okay, now I hear you, Peter. Okay, that's good.
Good. And that's right. Yep.
You okay? Can everyone hear me okay? Yeah, okay, good. Right, just checking. Thank you, Barbara. Thank you, Harry. Peter, can you speak so I can hear you?
Hello, it's me here.
Good. Cool. I think I've got an issue with my earphones. No worries. So where are we? We are Saturday, 2nd of April. We'll get going in just 1 second. Finally with you again. Why? Did you miss us? Did you go somewhere? I don't know what happened.
It's been a month, isn't it?
I definitely went somewhere.
Yeah, Clive's in Portugal.
I didn't go to Portugal. No,
Clive's, Clive's there.
Clive's in Portugal. Oh, wonderful, Clive. What are you doing? Are you on holiday or do you live there now, Clive? What are you doing all the way in Portugal? I want to know.
No. It's just a little break. Just a month's break.
Great. That's fabulous.
A month's break in Portugal. So I can concentrate on a bit of work, you know, get the use with the roots and bobs.
Love that. Fabulous. You've got a month in Portugal and you still don't want to miss out on Peter. Brilliant.
Well, it's only like an internet link away, no matter where you are.
Certainly not.
Oh, gosh. All right.
Massachusetts.
So we have got, let's get going. We're recording, right? We are recording?
Yep.
Yeah, okay, good. Yet. Hello from Devon. Hi, Miriam. Hello from Massachusetts. Hello, Limerie. Lovely to see you all. And we've got quite a few people in the chat today or in the room today. So I've got some rain going on in the background here. So apologies if you can hear that. So let me just put that here. What have we got for you today? So after today's Q&A, Peter will be facilitating today's workshop, which is all about working with dreams. Peter, do you just want to give a quick description about what's going on with that?
It's magical techniques, incubating dreams and creating lucid dreams and remembering them and interpreting them. Quite different from the psychological stuff you usually find. This actually involves some very ancient magical processes and some initiations which are going to actually really boost your lucid dreaming. Dreaming can be a very powerful thing, very powerful tool for transformation, for spiritual awakening, for many things. And you're going to learn to actually master dreaming to do all these things. A bit of magic in it.
Brill. So if you are already a magical monthly membership person, then join us. And if you are not, then the link will be coming in the chat now. So you still have the opportunity to join the workshop today, which we need to confirm the start time. So the start time today, Peter, please.
I believe it was 2 p.m. Just check.
Yeah, the workshop will be recorded, yes. But it's playback only for those people who are in the membership or who have purchased to join. So it's not something that you can purchase retrospectively. So if you want to if you want access to the recording of the dreaming workshop, then you do still need to purchase ahead of time. Mm-hmm. But you've got a little while as yet, and the link is in the chat. But before we move into the workshop, we've got the Q&A today. I don't think there's any other announcements, is there, Peter?
No, this is it.
Yeah,
this,
okay.
And then, of course, tomorrow we've got the students call.
Peter, you're also going to talk about the new package. You've got the tools.
Yeah, well, that will probably come up in the Q&A anyway. That's fine. But yes, I'm going to be talking first about what the blog was about, rebuilding your enthusiasm and drive and abundance, and obviously involves these other things over the last couple of years anyway. So we'll be open to questions because I'm sure people have all kinds of other topics to bring up around this same area. Basically, we're dealing with this issue of what's knocked you all down the last couple of years and how to build yourself back up.
Yeah, so we'll get into that. If you have any questions about whether you are a membership, part of the membership, then just let us know in the chat and then admin will be able to take a look. So Lindy will get that answered for you. And then if anyone has any questions, as always, please do put them in the chat as Peter is talking, and then I will filter those questions to him. Whether they are related to today's topic or not, all questions are welcome. Cameras on or off, entirely up to you, but please do put yourselves on mute. And the link to the latest article that Peter is going to be talking about today is in the chat. So if you haven't had the chance to read that, then you've got access to that to read afterwards. So I will go on mute now. And Peter, thank you very much.
Okay, I should spotlight myself. Spotlight me. There I am. Hello, everybody. Okay, so I want to talk about very much what I started in the blog post about how to rebuild that drive and enthusiasm, get your abundance back, to get things moving again. It's been so knocked down for the last couple of years. And as I wrote in the blog, there's a lot of disempowerment happening. But when you look at this, it's actually a lot of work to do. So what I've done, I've made it easier. Hadn't advertised this because something I've only put together in the last day or so, but another Synex program, which actually knock out a lot of these mind control influences that are coming in that have been dampening you down. So I want to go quickly over the things I've discovered here that are going to, we're going to be breaking. All the different ways they actually get into you, basically into your head, and actually start controlling your thinking and bringing you down and stop you from rebelling and stop you from actually stepping into your power. Your signature's used every time you sign. This is an old magic, this way of actually getting in. They use Psyonix. So when you actually sign anything, the more your signature is used, the more you're actually in the system. Registration. Registration is important, is a very important thing to look at. Because what to register means is to hand over ownership. When you register your car, your house, you're actually handing over ownership. They've got to you. When you register your children, you're handing over ownership. Through registration, they've actually got you in a kind of contract. This affects you psychologically, affects you in a very unconscious way. Of course, there's artificial intelligence everywhere now. It's in the chemtrails, it's in the vaccines, it's in the spike proteins that people are shedding, and in many things. Parasites and fungus also carrying it. Electromagnetism, of course, they put the pulsing out, which is obviously most amplified through 5G now, it's stronger. Subliminal messages, chemtrails, the whole power grid carries a signal which actually affects everybody. It actually puts the earth into forced resonance and therefore affects your ability to pick up earth energy, which is the source of our chi, basically. When that's disturbed, your life force is lowered and you have less resistance to things. You have less autonomy. The phone system, of course, signals pass through that. Barcodes. Whenever you're scanning barcodes and things, you know, that's also way into you. Of course, cults and churches, 5G. Hypnotic messages everywhere, satellites putting out signals out, and also the water. This one thing I discovered a while ago, and one point I was actually trying to explore some of the PowerPoints where things have been interfered with, I realized that most of the reservoirs had a little tower hanging over them. Whenever they analyzed, they realized that actually the water was being programmed by signals electromagnetically. So you drink the water, it carries information. You know, if you've probably seen this before on TV, how they show that water carries information, but actually it's used now to carry all this mind control. So these are many other influences we need to cut out now. So make it easier, I've actually created a Psyonic program for that. So before we actually go into all the power taking back and so on, I want to actually give everybody a good clear up so everyone to worry about these. So what I'm going to do, I'll target everybody watching this as well as everybody watching the replay. Activate all these things, all things I spoke about. Reconnect to Creator. I'm going to put it on for about 2 weeks, so that'll give time to clear up all the influence of the last couple of years, to kind of clear up of all that's been done, and start. I'll be now running for the next 2 weeks, so you'll find yourself being cleared of all this mind control stuff, and actually all that's damped down your enthusiasm, that's actually put you under control, made you passive, so you don't actually build your dreams. So that bit is happening automatically. So I go back to what we briefly spoke about in the blog. The most important thing for you to do is take power back. When you recognize the different power losses through lies, through being controlled and all the other things, you have to learn to start taking it back. You might not get it all back in one go because it's been so much. But it's like when you have a lot of luggage, you make several trips. If you can't get it all in one go, it's okay, come back and do more later. So when you do this exercise of taking power back, it's quite simple. All you're going to do is you go into meditation. You take a stick of either birch or oak, and draw a circle clockwise on the ground around yourself. You picture all the people who have taken your power. If you can't picture them, you see it as an egregore. It could be just a form which represents the whole group. Deep state, governments, media, doctors, all the words have actually taken control of me by lying. And as they come up to the edge of the circle, see them holding the energy, and you seem to reach out and take it back. They might fight for it, but in this circle, truth prevails. That's the idea of casting a magic circle. Therefore, you will win it back in the end. If you wrestle with them, you take it all back. And I said, you might not get it all back in one go. That's okay. Do it again the next day and the next day. Did it put it all back? Because what this is about is disempowerment by the state. It's taking your power away in many subtle ways. So you have to take it all back. So you've got the psionic program running. The main work for you to do then is simply do the same exercise of taking your power back. To recognize the way it's been taken. Lying and holding information is a big way of controlling you because you haven't got the information you need to make the best choice for yourself. It's the way they do it. They want you to actually do what they want you to do rather than actually have your own decisions. So hold back information that you need to make decisions. That's a way of controlling. And well, it seems like almost the state of war we've been in because it's the level of media control has been what happens during wars. And it looks like we have been at war. Not conventional, but it's been biological warfare, many other things, Cold War. But actually, this has all been like a state of war. Truth is gone. Everybody's been controlled. And all the other things go out there to keep people under control. So if you want to actually rebuild your own life, get back to your dreams, then the first thing to do is break those influences, take your bow back. Because everybody's still worrying about all that the government is telling you, about some virus or some other thing going on, controlling you. People forgetting to create their own reality. They almost lost the trust in doing that. They feel themselves in such a stuck state with them. Everything seems impossible. They forget to actually work on creating their own dreams. And the important thing when you work on your dreams has to be a certain level of enthusiasm, a certain level of hope, expectation. The three basic tools of creation are your desire, imagination, and expectation. First thing gets knocked down is the expectation when people actually put these controls on you. Now, when your expectation goes down, there are several ways you can respond. You can actually try and build it up by using your desire and imagination. What usually happens, though, is to make it less painful, people lower their imagination desire as well. It's very hard to desire something yet don't believe you can have it. So people start lowering their desire. There was no desire, and you forget what you want, no expectation. You don't create your dreams anymore. This is where power goes. It goes through your, first of all, taking away your expectation by putting this other image in front of you about what life's about. Put all this kind of struggle and danger and viruses and all these things that are supposed to be controlling you that you can't do anything about. But those who have intellectual medicine realize there is something you can do about it all the time. Those who are using homeopathy and herbs have no problem with this virus because these things work on the body and the immune system. They're not virus specific. Those of us using natural medicine have no problem. So, of course, they're trying to take people's mind off that. Homeopathy is taking a big hit in the next couple of years in the particular. Ainsworth has practically closed down. They tried to attack them and sue them for actually putting out remedies that might help. So, you know, the control has been pretty extreme. So the main thing to realize now is that there also has been an illusion. You do create your reality. They try to take that from you, to put their creation in place, make everybody a part of that creation, make everybody think in the same way, to make it easy to create what they want. So this program I just put on you all is going to help break a lot of that control. What you can do is take your power back so your enthusiasm is restored and you feel again that hope coming back where you know you can create what you want. You come back to your dreams, you feel your desire again, you feel the expectation again, and know you can do it. Okay, we're going to open up to questions now because obviously as I mentioned on the blog about rebuilding your potential, but so we'll see what people want to know about first. So I'll open up to questions at this point.
Thank you. And again, apologies for the rain noise in the background. So I hope you can all still hear me okay. The first question that has come in is, what is the difference between dreaming reality into being and delusional magical thinking that people usually engage in?
Well, first of all, in order to understand how magic works, you have to realize that you're not reaching into a dream to create reality. You're reaching into reality to shape the illusion. This world is all illusion. Science has proven that now. It's actually showing what the mystics said all along. It's all created by our consciousness. It's all imagined. It's all created by expectation, by observation, things like that. This world is illusion. The spiritual world is more real. You can't go into a dream world to shape reality. If that's what you think you're doing, it's not going to work. One's perspective has to change to understand how reality works. Now, when you actually really look at those tools of creation mentioned, to desire, imagination, expectation, expectation has to be real. It's not wishful thinking. Sometimes you can't expect something, you've got to admit that. Work through all the emotions that are in the way, all the doubts that's come in from past failures and so on, all the trouble you've had. If you keep telling yourself, yes, I can do it without looking at that, it's not going to work because you're denying a lot of the hidden feelings. When expectation is high, yes, you do create much better. When you but also the more real you make this world, the less control you have. Now, you may notice that different people make different things real. Some people are very good at creating the little simple things like a parking spot at the right time and things like that. But when they've got a real problem, they can't do anything about it. And that's the issue. They've made it a real problem. Some people, the health is real. They use metaphysics for everything, but as soon as they get ill, they run to the doctor instead of actually just changing it. Some people, the job's real. Some people, the money's real. Some people, their relationships are real. They change everything else, but they say, no, you can't change people. Well, they're all illusion. The things you make real are the ones you won't change. Now, when you can understand that and make things less real, realize this world is illusion, then those tools of desire, imagination, and expectation are the most powerful things to work with. But we have to be honest with that expectation. Sometimes you have to work through the secondaries. You focus on something and all the doubt comes up. You've got to go through that doubt and release it first. Don't just pretend you expect. Let's look what expectation actually means. The X and the spect. X is beyond, like an exit is beyond it. Spect is like words like perspective, is how you look. To expect is to look beyond. So you look at how things are working and then you can project where it's going to go to. That's expectation. It's not wishful thinking. Now, when you learn and gain some confidence in imagining and realize you can create things, you begin to expect more and more because you've seen it happen. It's not wishful thinking. I'm not going to dream and say, yes, I can create this miracle right now and suddenly change from rags to riches overnight. It doesn't really work that way. You build up gradually. You have a few small successes that get bigger and bigger and bigger as your expectation grows, as you release more of those old doubts and things from the past. So you actually expand what you call your sphere of availability. It's like a circle around you. What you can have expands gradually. The more you create, the more confidence you gain, the more your abundance grows, the bigger and bigger things you can create. It's going to be a gradual growth. So to answer your question, really, then it's about understanding what real expectation is and also understanding that this is the illusion. You can change everything if you genuinely expect. And you don't expect to be able to change this reality, you have to know that it's an illusion. Think about it. If it's a dream, you simply redream it. If it's real, you can't do a thing. You have to come back through meditation to your higher self to realize this spirituality is what's real. When that really is your most greatest motivation in life that moves you, the physical world becomes less real and therefore more easily controlled. If you're stuck in a problem and you're trying desperate to get rid of it, you're making it too real. It no longer works. You must be able to rise above it. Come back to who you really are. Get rid of all the doubts and fears and things that have come up, though, you know, release those emotions. Then when you actually work on it with real expectation, it happens. Okay.
Yep, moving on to the next question. Thank you very much. My mind keeps looking for a meaning of life, like an end goal, even though I know it's the wrong question to even ask. What is the cause of this and how does living without a need to have an answer to that silly question look like?
It comes from being too much in the intellect, basically, and that comes because emotions have been blocked. These things we learn as a child, you go to school, they stop dreaming, stop being so emotional, and actually get all these logical processes, which actually is what confines you, that everybody wants to think mentally. When you can't deal with your feelings, you always want an answer instead. Now, for instance, I've heard so many times people say, well, why are these problems happening? So actually feeling a pain that this is happening, they say, no, I want to know why. But actually what you really want is to heal it. If you can stop the pain, it's gone. You no longer care why, it's because it's gone. You might want to worry about it coming back, and therefore you want to know why. But these are all like emotions, you see. If you deal with feelings, you don't need answers so much. The need for answers comes from the fact that we actually denied our feelings. First thing is to go back to those pains. People push it away. Now, if you want to know something, well, what are you feeling? There's a reason why you want to know it, and usually there's some pain there. Now, when there is a lack of understanding, that is also a kind of pain. See, pain in its nature is a synergy of separation and longing. On a spiritual level, that separation is from the source. we all feel a spiritual pain when we're separated. When you separate from understanding and wisdom, and you long for that, you have mental pain. When you separate from love and belonging, you have emotional pain. What physical pain is about is control. It's when you've lost control and want control, that's when you hurt yourself. You might notice it as you really look. So all pain is coming from separation and longing. So we look at the mental pain then, it's about understanding. People want to understand, they want wisdom, but actually it's not the same as actually knowing the answers to simple questions. Quite often we look for meaningless things because the mind is so active in knowing now, because we don't have real understanding. What is it you really want to understand? What is the meaning of life? Well, when there's actually enthusiasm, you don't worry about the mental process, you enjoy it too much. You expand yourself. And there are some simple meanings we can look at, and looking at these will actually remind you where you need to work. You see, there are certain graces, things the human being naturally seeks. To expand oneself, simply because the joy is in expansion. When there's a challenge and you actually expand yourself in making this challenge, there's joy. We seek to learn new skills. We seek to have fun. We seek to replicate beauty. These are the most natural things to a human being. When you're doing those things, you're fulfilled. Those are the purpose of life. That's what drives us most. If you're doing those things, fine. If you're not, you start feeling there's something missing. You're looking for answers. Well, there they are, right there. Those simple things, the human graces. Replicate beauty. Expand yourself. Learn new skills. Have fun. And make new choices. Choice is a big one. A lot of people look with making a choice because they were afraid of doing it wrong. Well, actually, that's where there's choice. If there was a right and a wrong, there would be a choice, would there? So choice can be a difficult one because people are afraid of where it might go. Again, remember, we create the future. Many choices can be positive. It doesn't have to be one better than the other. They're just different. So when you actually end that process of actually dealing with the emotions, and actually looking what's missing and actually enjoying life and expanding yourself in this way, those need for answers becomes less.
You were talking before a lot about illusions. So the question has come in, if this reality is an illusion, am I also an illusion? And what is really real that is able to change illusion? Who am I to be able to change illusion?
The only thing that's real is pure awareness. This is the source of all things. When it was created, there was awareness, undefinable, adimensional. This awareness is a thought and it creates. What's happened then? We want to explore our creation, so we enter into it and experience it. In entering to this little creation that was in front of us, we forget our vastness, we become this limited being. At that point, power is left outside ourselves, and then the gods are created. We've let it all out there. What we really are then, beyond all these identities, is pure awareness. Anything else is a creation. Anything you can define is not the source, or it's not you, because it's a creation. You can't define who you are. It's simply pure awareness. I won't even say consciousness, because consciousness is awareness within time and space. Before there's even time and space, there's just awareness. That awareness can do anything, but there's nothing to do yet until you create it. It's infinite potential. There's never been no thoughts yet. You start having thoughts. You start seeking possibilities. Now we've created this whole world, which is our creation, and we truncate it so much we forget who we are. We call them different identities, it's not us. We have many identities, many masks we wear. Linked to our job, our various roles. I can be a father, a husband, a teacher. They're all masks. The real me is simply pure awareness. Now notice that pure awareness cannot be damaged. When you get hurt, when you feel broken, what broke wasn't you. It's your creation. That's the secret of overcoming anything. Being going to that pure awareness, by its very nature, is indestructible. From that point of pure awareness, you can do anything. Thoughts can be changed. Your beliefs can be changed. What you're creating out of those thoughts and beliefs will change. All you are is pure awareness. Anything you define is not it. Pure awareness is indefinable. Okay.
How do you
that's
take
that's
power?
The only thing that's real.
Sorry, I thought you'd finished.
I'll just say that's the only thing, everything else is illusion. The only thing real is awareness.
Okay, thank you. Can I go now?
Yep.
How do you take power from people you don't know or hidden groups that take your power away through psionics? Would you have a symbol, etc., for this to put into the psionics plate to make this easier?
You can, anything you like. If you imagine that egregore is almost like a human being in front of you, it'll work. In your mind, if that's the egregore, that works. That's all you need. You don't have to know who they are. You know there's an energy out there. You know there's something. You don't know who the people are, but you know what the group is. You know there's government, there's a media, all these things. You know there's an energy there. There's an egregore. You can give that whatever shape you like. You can symbolize if you want to. The easiest way is to actually douse the ray pattern for it, because that's actually then tuning to its actual energy pattern, so it'll ground it, or just picture it as a person, or name the group.
Thank you. Once we give back shame and take power and take back power, is there still so much old pain and other stuff now that are rising? Is it that another way these beings that are in control stop us from healing, from making it so hard to heal our own issues by stealing our power and dumping all their shame? Question. Could the financial industry be dumping their shame as an egregore as well as taking our power? Is this happening in the blockchain space by pretending that the energy is light and guided but is really trickster energy?
There is. So there's a lot of shame dumping and everything. You see, money's illusion, they know that. They create currency in order to control you. What they're after is value. They want to own everything, lands, property. These things are actually more real than money, which is just totally controllable and changeable all the time. Which is why, you know, Russia's now moving to gold-backed currency. They're trying to get the world to actually go to gold-backed currency, so it's actually has something real backing it up. It's not so easily manipulated. Right now, money is so easily manipulated, they can control anything. How is it they expect you to actually earn a certain amount of work to earn a certain living, with those others making millions and billions for doing nothing? It's all created by the expectation of this money they've invented that you have to work for. That's actually nothing. So they're really after your value, which means they want you to be down where they're up. They want to be very special. They want to be like gods, and you are nothing. So what they're taking is value. So of course they don't make shame on you. Why would they want you to feel like that? Because inside they feel like crap. They're not doing anything good with their life. They're actually treading on the people. They don't have any real spiritual light in there. So inside, they feel worthless. They have to constantly disprove that by actually being bigger and having more money and everything else. And so they dump all the shame on you, make you all feel like you're worthless, lowly, or they're big. That's how it works. So a lot of what they're doing is stealing value, which is the same as giving shame. Value is a kind of power as well, if you look at it. This is what they're after, your value.
Is there an easy way to remember dreams?
Well, so we're going to be carrying in the workshop later. But the first thing really is actually to stop making notes just before you've lost them. If I usually find it when you wake up, the dream is still there, then they fade away. If you take a simple note really quickly, we're still all drowsy and kind of waking up, then when you look at the note later, it'll help remember the rest of the dream. Then it becomes a habit. So the reason we don't remember dreams because they're disconnected. So our memories work by association. One thing is linked to the next, because there's a flow. You know, you do one thing, then you remember what you did after that, because it's attached to something. Memory works by association. Dreams are separated events from normal life. There's no association there, but there's nothing to trigger memory unless we create it. So you have to actually, first of all, as soon as you wake up, make some little note of something from that dream. When you actually go back to that, it'll trigger all the rest, because there's association again, there's something it's linked to. And then it becomes a habit to remember dreams after a while. It starts by actually just writing it down. And actually, the very act of putting a pen and notepad by your bed is giving your subconscious an instruction that you're going to remember your dream. And then it actually already triggers something, I find. You can do all this program saying, I'm going to remember my dreams. It doesn't work anywhere near as well as simply putting a notepad there. Because it's saying, okay, this is to write my dreams in. Okay, let's have some dreams to remember then, and I'll put them down. And when you first write that little note before you've woken up fully, when you're still drowsy, don't wait to wake up fully, that's the thing. But it's when you're still drowsy and you don't want to write anything down, just reach out, oh, where's my notepad? Little note. Okay, I can look at it later, and then the rest of the dream will come back. That's the first thing to do.
And don't use your phone so that you're tempted to go on Facebook. Okay, next questions. I've got two in one here. So the first one is regarding the use of signatures, because we're talking about power. How on earth do you get out of it? When you buy a property, you need to put your signature on the deed. And secondly, the social security number is a number linked to us as humans by the government. And that is how they impose taxes on us. I never decided this or agreed with it. If I don't pay taxes, then I'm either fined or I could even face a jail sentence. So how do I uncreate a reality which has been by so many other humans who are just obeying what the government says and imposes on us? So signatures and social security numbers.
Actually, this is what we're working on, and things are starting to change because there's so much of this of the bullshit that's being exposed now. And this work, all the trouble with the Russians going about, they're actually changing to the GSARA system, changing the whole banking system, and it's going to make things a lot more fair. And this is what everybody's trying to crush. So there is waking up here, and so someone has to be working on this anyway, and realize, you know, just realize it's a big creation, takes a while, but you can do it. We can discreate it by going to all the feelings you have around it that we do with anything. It's going to be big, not one that did overnight, but actually remember, it's already happening. Join in now and help discreate it, and then we'll get there. Basically, you have to actually look at all your feelings around it, all the power loss, all those things, and actually release those feelings to come back to realizing what you want and believe in it. That's what it all creation comes down to the end. The big problem simply has more emotions around it you've got to release. More secondaries, as I call them. You see, every time you try and create something, it triggers old creations to reassert themselves. That usually manifests as doubt and things like that. So all those feelings are simply past creations. You have to actually welcome them, let them go, to actually discreate that. So when you start changing, yeah, you can look at this whole system, you're in a mess, you admit it, you realize there's power loss, you feel frustration, anger, whatever. You go through all those feelings and discreate it, and it starts to change. It is happening gradually. But yes, it's a big one. But there's been a lot of the free man movement, but it's like it's not really working either because they come and crush you anyway, because they use force. It's actually recognizing those tools of control. We did speak about this before, and I think I put it in the blog. Force, fear, image control, altruism, lies. These are the things that control you. Take care of those first. You might not be able to do the force right now. Take care of the rest first, and then we deal with the force later on. Because as more people wake up and we create a change, it's like, okay, there can't force us anymore. There's more of us than there are of them. It's happening gradually. But, you know, come back to the basics, take your power back, discreate everything that's in your way, and keep with the vision. But also, don't make it too much of a priority because you're making it too real. Whatever environment we're in, we can still create our reality. People worry about who's won the war and what government we're in and so on. But actually, within each of these governments, with each of these systems, some people are still creating the reality, still creating their dreams. That doesn't really stop you. It changes how you do it, yes. If we did an environment, it's going to take a different pathway to get to what we want. But actually, we carry on creating a reality in any environment. So don't make the governments and all those other laws that are happening out there so important. See, the very system that makes you pay all these taxes is what allows you to make a load of money. It's all so screwed up. People can get rich in this. If you actually can make £1 million easily, you don't mind giving half to the government because you made it so easily. So you look at it that way. You can create your own reality, whatever is happening out there in the environment. So stick with your dreams and simply clear all these negative emotions that come up in the way. This is a big one, yes, because quite often the government is blocking your dreams. They're trying to do that, but I don't have to if you don't let them. You release those secondaries, all those old emotions, and you come back to creating your dreams, basically.
You were talking about Bitcoin and everything. So will they be taking cash out of circulation soon? Some people are storing their money as cash rather than in the bank. Will we still be able to use this, or what do you recommend?
There will be div money, but it's going to be, as I said, a change into a gold-backed currency. This is what Russia has started, and actually many countries have actually had this plan already. But obviously the kind of new world order, all that is what's trying to block it. They want to go back to the old banking system and then for them to take more control. When we have a gold-backed currency, then it's backed by something real. It's no longer illusory. It becomes more fair. So yes, there will be money there. Then the new world order wants to take money away, make everything totally controlled digitally. But actually that's what we're fighting. And at the moment it looks like we're winning. The Illuminati are having a hard time at the moment because Putin has already totally knocked the head on the new world order, broken what they were doing.
Now, I'm wondering if you spoke about this and I missed it, but we're talking about experimental drugs now. Some people have chosen to take experimental drugs recently. I mean, I think it's longer than recently. Is this really their choice?
It is, yes, because even if they don't know, they've still chosen to actually take something out for getting all the information. You'd think you'd have the sense to actually want to find out everything you can about it, wouldn't you? But people are so brainwashed, let into the system. And this is basically that mass formation hysteria going on. It's a psychosis. They put the whole country into a state of fear. And when once you have this kind of anxiety going around, which is actually has no target, you give them a target, say, okay, here's your enemy. And they'll be focused on getting rid of that. So they put people already in various forms of fear and anxiety because all their problems are coming towards them. Now they're suddenly giving them a focus and say, this virus is your problem. Let's all work together to stop this. And everybody obeys, do what the government's told them. This is where they're giving the power away because they actually got caught in that fear. Now, let's look at where this comes from. This comes from the herd instinct. So in a herd, it's like they can come together safety. There's a predator, they'll gather together and go in the same directions. So they can't, it's hard to kind of catch in the way. They're safe together. But actually, that's what's being used against us, because in a herd, in the instinct, you listen to the leader rather than yourself. Somebody has to be in charge, and therefore you trust them, not yourself. But actually, to do anything, you have to trust yourself first. How do you know you can trust somebody else if you can't first trust your ability to assess them as trustworthy? So this herd instinct, which takes over in times of great fear and danger, is the weak point. You have to look at where this fear has come in and made us want to then listen to somebody else. Because there's a lot of responsibility to say, I'm going to change this myself. It means you have to face your own fear, face your uncertainty, and go ahead anyway. But this is a lesson we all have to do. You see, fear and uncertainty are just emotions we go through. They can come up as secondaries when we actually work on our goals. So what I do, I focus on what I want. And if fear and uncertainty come up, I feel them until I go. Then I come back to what I want, and that's what happens. So we have to. So the ability to face fear and uncertainty is the key point here. It's not going to be totally secure. There's going to be unknowns. There always are. That should make us want to research more rather than listen to the government, listen to the medics and so on. But some people are so much into that giving away of power that they don't want that. They don't want to make decisions for themselves because they have to face their own choices and their own fear about getting it wrong. It's also like a responsibility. If I trust somebody else to get it wrong, it's their fault, not mine. If I make a mistake, then it's all my blame. See how this works? People want to place blame. They'll trust somebody else even though they get it wrong, because then it's their fault, it's not my fault. They did it. People like to place blame, which is a way of passing shame. All comes back to shame when you look at it. Deal with that so you won't do these things anymore. You can actually take responsibility for your own decisions, even if you get them wrong. You still learn from them and grow. And obviously you'll make more effort to gain the information you need. You do more research. So yes, many people take an experiment on drugs out of total fear, total giving to the herd instinct and listen to the leader rather than actually listening to themselves. Intuition has been blocked and there's nothing speaking there anymore. They're close to their hearts. They're not listening to themselves. They're listening to somebody in charge, doing anything they say to actually escape from that fear trap they're in.
Can you repeat what you said about the New World Order and Putin? Is he in their way?
Oh, he's been a big thorn in their side. I mean, actually, the Rothschild said this in the last meeting in London. They said that he was a big problem. He's already broken. They need to stop him. So it shows him he's doing something right. So it's no wonder they're giving such a bad press in the media, because he's the one who's actually fighting them. First of all, he's already actually taken over the banks in his country and bought back. He's the one who's bringing back the gold-backed currency, which means it's going to be now a fair system where you can't actually manipulate money too easily. There's something real behind it for a change. And that's what he's now actually making people actually use in order to buy fuel from them, you know, because a lot of gas and fuel comes from Russia. Now he's saying to other nations, now if you want to buy it, you can buy it in rubles, which is now gold-backed. The only way you're actually going to buy this is with gold. It's no longer a currency which is manipulated. It's going to be something real. That's a bit of a big knock on what they're doing. But also his invasion of Ukraine wasn't about really Ukraine. It was about the biolabs. There are certainly 360 biolabs in 36 different countries put there by Hillary Clinton and her whole group of administration. It's been put in other countries, which are a lot of corruption, because we need to get away with. These ones creating these bioweapons and viruses and things. And he's going to destroy them. That's another big knock to the New World Order as well. So that's two things he's done to really screw them over, basically. So of course they're pissed off with him. They want to stop him. They give as much bad press as they can, but actually, you know, he's the only one who seems to be doing something real. You know? Only one on the right side so far. other countries are joining him, and other countries are agreeing to go to this gold-backed currency gradually.
We had a couple of questions coming with regards to psionics. First of all, are there any new psionics creations ready to buy? And the second question is, do you have a talisman for giving back shame?
No, I haven't done that, but it's possible. Yes, I could work on that. But yeah, there are a couple of new ones which will be coming. If you look at my website, you'll see there's a new stuff on the psionics page. There will be a couple of new ones coming out. If you look at the the new courses there, what are called the Invincible Psychic Healing and Clearing courses, there's a lot of talismans in those to do with a lot of the new issues and some very deep occult issues as well. Another one I've put up recently is the targeting ones, to do with the targeting from the system and 5G. Another one I'm going to put up soon, which is not out yet, I've created it just recently, is what I call the demonic disease talisman. See, what's behind a lot of these things, virus, 5G, and various other things coming in, have the same demonic influence behind them. So I looked at the whole thing, how to create the whole pattern with end one talisman. So when there's an illness, you know, you're trying to deal with 5G, trying to deal with viruses, trying to deal with all these other things, alien implants and AIs, I've done one talisman to deal with the whole thing because there's a demonic resonance behind all these things. We get rid of the root of the consciousness that controls them. So it'll be talisman that coming out soon. Next one I'm actually working on, which will be out soon, is the sex block remover. I've done a love block remover, but sex is a different issue. A lot of people have blocks to sex because of this shame of condition we carry and entities and cause drain power away. So I'm creating something which actually removes all those possible blocks that makes it easier to actually get your sex drive back and your virility and your everything and your freedom to actually have good relationships and all those things. So I'm making a sex block remover.
And how will you notify everyone when they're all ready?
It'll be up on my site and we'll send it out on the newsletter as well.
Okay, great.
Cool. There's a couple of new ones there already. Check out them, the Invincible Psychic Clearing courses. They do a hell of a lot. There's a number of new talismans within those courses where it'll help you actually douse through a chart to see all the influences on you and clear them all. So it's a very powerful clearing to give you all the influences you get around these days.
And the link has just gone in the chat for the page to take you there to have a look at that. Okay, moving on to the next question. How do we cut through separateness, from awareness through the ego or whatever it is that is keeping us identified with something that is an illusion?
Well, first of all, the ego is the key. The ego is a big part of separation. We have to have an ego to live in a separate state. You can't live without it here because the ego is actually the bit which is actually taking all the information out there and putting it into a picture saying, this is me and this is that. Therefore, there is separation. The senses use separation. When I'm looking at you over there, separate from me here. Sound, that's me. Senses and ego, all about separation. In meditation, we'll be closed in the senses and have to learn to deal with the ego, then you go to pure awareness. It takes practice. You know, the more you meditate and go into pure awareness, the more you're aware that this is who you are. And the more you actually then work at this exercise of discretion that I teach, you know, you welcome emotions and let them go until you come back to what's, you know, what you want to create. You get used to it more. You become to realize more and more that you're the creator, your awareness, everything else can be discreated. Identities, images, beliefs around yourself, all just your creation. It all comes just through this practice. Meditation, discreation, and also a lot of my courses do this ego release process. I might have done a blog on it at some point as well about how to deal with ego. Because there are certain keys to ego. Certain things you look for. First of all, the common message of ego, the biggest one is I don't exist anymore. Anybody thinks they haven't got an ego, haven't got to deal with it, it's got a bigger ego problem, because we all have an ego. If you're not aware of it, it's in control. We all have one, therefore we have to know how to deal with it. We have to mature it. Those of you that can just stamp out the ego also in an illusion, because you know, you then have a codependent relationship with it. It's trying to control you, you're trying to control it. That can't be good. And it'll win because it has nothing better to do. You have lots of things to think about. You don't have anything else to do apart from controlling you. It'll win in the end. So we don't want to do it that way. We don't fight it. We mature it. To that, we recognize the stages it grows through. The infantile ego is there about getting enough. Little child wants to know, am I getting enough food? Enough? Am I safe? Am I getting love? All those things. When you get to adolescent, it's saying, am I good enough? It's image-based. Therefore, it's trying to be better than other people. Young adult is saying, am I growing and learning fast enough? The mature ego says, I am enough. There's no more competition. So when you actually worried about getting more than anybody else, or somebody's got more than you, that's child ego. When you're worried about being better than somebody else, also worried that somebody else might be better than you, that's adolescent ego. So you watch these things and you actually work on maturing it by asking for help. See, the big thing about the ego is it doesn't ask for help. Its one solace is that if it does succeed, it can take all the credit. Therefore, it tries to do everything on its own. Asking for help is already flushing it out. So you ask your higher self. Once you recognize the ego, you actually give your ego to higher self to mature. You won't kill it with one go, but it'll mature a bit more than it was before. And when you come back and look at it again, it's changed. You gradually mature the ego until it's in its full adult state where you are enough. And the ego is doing its job of simply presenting information to you so you see the picture of what's in the world, not feeling separate anymore. See, the ego's job is to give you the information. It shows you the content of reality so your consciousness can choose the form and context. What happens if the ego takes over the form and context? You have disasters. It's giving you all the interpretations of what's happening that are not real. It's based on its child or adolescent status. Always about being good enough or not getting enough. So you do have to actually go through the psychological process of maturing the ego there. Part of that's meditation and actually practicing these exercises of discrimination and creation. Because that's what we do as pure awareness, as God. We create, experience, and discreate. Doing those things is what gives you practice of being God, and that comes back to who you really are.
Is the broadband router, is it used as a dark portal for evil and dark magic to invade your home space?
Everything is. Phones, broadband, every possible signal coming in carries certain signals to get in. People hack into it and use it. They attach things to it. That's why we create the sonics to neutralize it all.
I had another question. Hang on. No, I'll go back up. Okay, thank you for that. It seems like living a good life is based on having genuine love for the us that is an illusion. Since there are no skills to develop in pure awareness, all our care must be directed towards the self that exists in illusion. So love for the illusion is the creation in what makes a good life worth living, question.
Thing about love, it's not attached to one particular thing, it simply is. It's part of who we are. When you actually enter into that pure awareness, there's infinite love. It flows to everything. You don't have to try and love the illusion. You can love that too, simply because you love everything. You also love spirit, you love your higher self, you love the creator, whatever. And you love yourself and you love everyone and everything. Obviously, it doesn't mean there won't be things you're angry with and something you hate, that can be part of the mix too. But you see, even that is there because there's love. You see, if it wasn't love, you wouldn't really care, would you? There would be no fear because there's nothing to lose. What you fear most is losing the love. So when there's love, there's going to be lots of stuff with it. That's the thing. The trick here is then it's not to live without love, but to love beyond fear rather than without it. People try and tell you that love is letting go of fear, but no, there is no fear without love and no love without fear. But if you actually recognize when you're in fear, the fear is only there because there's love, you bring that mind back to love and let that motivate you. That changes everything. Now, for instance, you may fear losing the love of your partner. What do? Some become very manipulative, try and hold them in place, and that destroys it, and then they've gone. Physically, you realize the reason I fear losing them is because I love them. And focus on the love, it changes how you relate to them. It's a completely different way of relating. You won't be manipulating anymore, you'll be loving. That'll change the relationship and make it better. So you see, it's all about shifting focus. There's many things going at once, but choose what you're going to focus on. We all have love. Trouble is this fear surrounding which distracts us. We have to recognize the fear as a point where the love is, because we fear losing that love. Either losing the love itself, losing the object of focus of the love, or not living up to the love. Those are the basic fears.
I've noticed that our vibration connects to a darker world, etc. Then the dream gate sensor blocks the dream from recalling. And if it is a good dream, we usually remember it. Could you tell us about the dream gate sensor and how to work with it?
The thing about dreams, yes, some people block them off, but some don't. That's why you have nightmares. You see, in the dreams, the unconscious is trying to actually bring things to you. Dreams have a lot of different purposes. They produce healing, they solve conflicts, they try and solve the future for what happens. Many things happen in there. Sometimes it does involve negative states because we have to go into our fears and whatever's trying to work its way to the surface. But of course, there are portals, and all portals should have a guardian. Additionally, this even traditions had their own guardians, like for instance, in the Egyptian system, Nephthys controls the gates, Lady of the Gates, Nephthys. Therefore, she's the one you call to actually control the gates, so you don't have the wrong things coming in. In Voodoo, it's Legba, he's the doorkeeper. In the Hindu system, it's Ganesha. They're doorkeepers. This is what it's all about. You say, close the door on this, open the door on that. Simple. You see, a case of having some gatekeeper in your system, whatever religious ideas or magical system you work with, there's always some kind of gatekeeper.
I have been astounded at people, family, and good friends who I think are enlightened and intelligent and curious who have taken the shots. I have struggled to understand why. Is there any explanation around this, Peter, as to why, you know, who we think shouldn't be taking them are taking them?
It's fear is a strange thing. And also, how do you measure somebody's enlightenment? A lot of people seem aware of some things, but as soon as this happens, they go back to the fear. You see, enlightenment isn't just about what you know. Is how much work you've done with your emotions as well, how much of this kind of fear mechanism you cleared out. You're not always responding to fear. A lot of people have great knowledge and studied all these different things and different systems and great spiritual knowledge, but haven't dealt with the fear. Without dealing with the fear, you're going to get pulled back into that game. You go back to herd instinct, you get controlled. It's not about the intellect. It's about having dealt with your emotions. That's the difference. How do people measure spirituality? How many people are actually doing the emotional work they need to do? And the work of the ego. That's the difference. A lot of people don't see the emotional work as part of the spirituality. They think they're above it. They think, you know, that's somehow lower than their spiritual, but that's ego. Ego is always trying to say I'm better than that. No, emotions are all a big part of who we are. If you don't deal with those, you know, you're going to start for your growth. How can be enlightened if you don't deal with those basic blocks? We raise up a scale of emotions, remember? Unconsciousness, apathy, grief, fear, anger, pain, enthusiasm. Raising your vibration means raising up the emotional scale. The intellect doesn't do it. It doesn't matter how much you know and how much you've read about spirituality and religion, all those things and the New Age teachings. It's not going to get you anywhere if you don't do the emotional work.
Do you feel that people in the mass formation herd will or may break those choices? Oh, so you were talking about herd activity, weren't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's the thing. People have to make the choice to get out of it. If they're actually still working hypnotically and not making free choice, they'll never change until they stop and say, hey, what am I doing here? Some people do that. Others are still so much controlled, they won't. Some people are still actually just following everything unconsciously because they're not choosing to be responsible. But of course, there is a resonance. As you change one, it spreads out and other people start changing too. If one person questions, other people around them start questioning. That's the thing. Some people will fight and others will question, but you know, there's ripples going out. Right now, yes, a lot of people will still be in that herd instinct and that mass formation psychosis, but it's gradually changing. And as we work on ourselves, it changes people around us as well. And do we change more and more of the world? But it's gradual.
So before we run out of time, I want to go to a couple of the pre-submitted questions. Well, not a couple of them, the two pre-submitted questions. The first one is, I have two little problems that I'm sure you can help me solve in my body. What are the best foods and drinks for lowering my blood pressure while I sleep? And am I happy? And I am happy to report that at 58, I only have what looks and feels like a touch of arthritis in the first joint of my left index finger. It isn't stiff, nor will I allow it to be, but how do I heal the first joint in my left index finger? So how do I lower my blood pressure while I sleep, and how do I heal my arthritis in my index finger?
I'm going to look at these things together because they are clues. You see, the forefinger is where the large intestine meridian starts and runs all up the body. If that's the first thing stiff, it shows a block of the large intestine meridian. Now that's going to affect other things. You see, if that's not working, you store toxins. And what happens then? The pituitary gland will detect the hypothalamus and pituitary together, actually work on measuring blood glucose to balance it. They'll actually swell in response to toxins and put pressure, which then creates other problems. So all the other things, you know, the talking about, they're all coming from that same issue, which is actually intestine. So you're talking about food to deal with it. It's actually about cleansing. You want more roughage, you want acidophilus to get the right bacteria back in, get the system cleansed out, basically. and that'll affect blood pressure as well, because the blood pressure is raising because, you know, the hormones are out of balance. And this is all done by the hypothalamus, the pituitary, you see. See, everything in the body is a balance for two opposites. One thing lowers blood pressure, another one raises it. Its balance isn't kept, it goes one way or the other. Those two have to be kept in harmony, and that's the job of the hypothalamus, which is also controlled by the pituitary gland. So if that's toxins building up there, it goes wrong. It's about cleansing the intestine first. There's a knock-on effect. Also, apart from food, what's stored in the intestine is very early stuff from very early childhood and actually before you were born, the prenatal traumas and ancestry. Very old stuff in that, very hard to remember. But start with diet. You need to clean up lots of roughage, lots of fruit and vegetables, and take probiotics as well to get the bacteria there.
And the next pre-submitted question was, how do we go about stopping or removing the Armageddon program?
You just welcome it and let it go. You see, as I said, with this creation, it's all about emotions. You only believe things because there's been emotional impact. People tell you these things with a lot of emotion behind it, and it goes into the system. You know it's wrong. And you somehow can't get rid of the belief completely. What's left is emotion. So you go into the feeling of this Armageddon program, all the fear that went into creating it, all the doubts and all the horrors, all that. You welcome everything and let it go. When you let go of the emotion, the belief won't be there anymore because you already know it's not real.
I finally managed to get hold of some, is it Moki balls? M-O-Q-U-I.
Oh, yeah, which is the same as the Moji stones.
Oh, right. Okay. I did wonder because of the rest of the question. Yeah. So someone has managed to get hold of these balls. Could you please mention, now that she has the balls or the stones, how in practice do you use them to break the group egregores? For example, the government imposing vaccinations or microchipping on us in order to pay digitally through the body.
With any egregore, all you've got to do is imagine it, hold the balls, those stones in your hands, and actually imagine it dissolving. You will it to dissolve. It's that simple. It might take a while because obviously these are big egregores, but holding the Boji stones gives you the ability to dissolve them. So you just try and picture the egregore. You'll have a feel of it. So it's the big mass of energy. You know how it feels. It's horrible. You know, it's confining and poisoning. When you feel the egregore, you simply hold the stones and actually will it dissolve from what you're dissolving.
And I think we're going to have to start to make a list, Peter, because another recommendation has come through for a talisman for the psionics plate.
Yeah. Okay.
Is there going to be a talisman to have everyday downloads and connection from our multidimensional selves that are higher and have the ability to use some of their power through psionics?
Well, actually, that's already in the psionics course. Remember, there was actually the higher self connection disc. That does all that, but to make a connection to higher self, you can get every download through your higher self. Plus the egregore creation, these all things which help make the psionics work. That's all in the course anyway. I don't do them separately because, you know, there's no point in you not doing a course because these are things that make it work. They're things that give you the power.
Is there something such as our prime identity, or you identify yourself as infinite as all possibilities, such as Kali?
As I was saying, everything you can define is a creation. Pure awareness is undefinable. Every identity is a creation. All you are is pure awareness, and it's like you can't define that. Even Kali is something we've shaped in our minds. We've given it a form, we've given it a name. It's very, very high level, but it's like, you know, we still see it as a certain thing, a certain energy. Pure awareness is beyond even that. So even when you look at yourself, any identity is not a prime one because it's a creation. There is no identity when you're back to pure awareness.
How do we rebuild our value with all these energies trying to suppress this? How can we tell the difference between light shadow reflections and people or energies trying to steal our value?
Your light shadow reflections don't steal value from you. Your shadow is actually your friend. It's trying to show you all the things you denied. That's what it's doing. If you're willing to face everything and deal with those emotions, then there's no problem with the shadow. But then you recognize, I mean, I laid out the steps in my article about the ways people take power. You can recognize those. If they're controlling, lying, manipulating, using image manipulation, altruism, all these things, those are tools of power stealing. The same ones that people used from the beginning of time. If that's happening, you know, you're losing power. So there aren't any other tools apart from those sorts of thing. So just by recognizing those steps, the ways people take power, you're going to keep ahead of it. If you're looking at parasitical entities and aliens and things, it's different. It's direct energy link vampirism. And there's a talisman for that. You know, we have there's anti-vampire talisman. There's the karmic tie cutter. They cut these up by hidden cords so people are not training you unconsciously.
So we have got four questions left. I'm going to ask those four questions and then we will be concluding the call. So that's all the time we have for the questions today. So let me go back up to these four questions. Okay, so a little bit of a long one here. I'd had a dream about my aunt who has severe dementia and still alive. I dreamt I went through her death process. It was easy and occurring while she's asleep. The experience was visceral and physical. I felt her soul leave my body through the high heart area. Passing through the astral plane, there was a threat or attack, but that passed. Shortly after, she returned happy, healthy, in the prime of her life. So it was a stunning experience. This didn't feel merely a dream. Perhaps there was a healing element for her. I wondered what your thoughts were around this. I used to have amazing dreams, and I would like to have them more regularly.
That's what we call grokking. You know, you become the other person, you can do the process for them. Obviously, in his dementia, wasn't able to do it herself. You had to go through the death process for her. Having done it, she's free. You've done it for her. That is a healing.
Fabulous. And then moving on to the next one. If someone has caused you harm, but there is still an attachment, do you need to forgive them to be released from them?
Forgiveness is a part of a process of being free rather than something that has ended itself. Trying to give them too soon can actually block your process because you have to go through all the emotions first. There's power to take back and all those things and everything else. So forgiveness is the end rather than an early part of the process. It's the last step to be really free. You don't be thinking about it anymore. Forgiveness doesn't mean you now like them, or you know, you simply not thinking about it anymore. It's gone. You're free of it. It's out of your life. The first thing, obviously, is to cut those ties, get rid of any shame, take your power, get rid of any influence from them at all. There can be attachments from them and you get rid of them. Forgiveness is the last step.
How do you get rid of fear now that it constantly surrounds us?
As I said, first you have to feel it, but also you have to recognize that fear surrounds love. We learn to love beyond fear rather than without it. When you feel fear, recognize the only reason you fear is because you love. You fear losing the love, the opposite to the love, or you fear not living up to the love. Once you recognize the love and come back to that, the fear is kind of diminished. And it's there, but you can welcome it, feel it, and let it go. That's the thing. You have to be in that position where you can actually welcome fear. That's easy when you recognize that it's surrounding love. Then fear, you just welcome it, let it go. Easy.
Wonderful. And then moving on to the next question, how do we relate and integrate the archetype of the cosmic man, Adam Kadmon?
This is an ideal, actually. Adam Kadmon actually means perfected man. And actually, this is something that my Sri Yantra empowerment does. It's a divine blueprint. It's the blueprint of how you are when you're perfect, before we had all this karmic stuff coming, distorting it. It's a reminder. When you have that reminder of affected you, it's easy to shed the conditioning. So the Sri Yantra does that. That's a more Eastern system, but it's part of the same thing. Adam Kadmon is more the Kabbalistic system. In the Vedic system, he uses the Sri Yantra. He has the divine blueprint, therefore reminds you of the perfection. Helps you tune into that.
Sorry, I was looking for a link. That is it. That's all the questions. So, yeah. Anything else you want to say about the topic for today, Peter?
Well, as I mentioned, it's a dream one. So, I said a little bit earlier. I said it's like it's a magic technique. It will actually help you get into your dreams and master them. But also, we're going to look at how to actually use your dreams to actually manifest things more powerfully. It's nice when you actually manifest in your sleep.
Brilliant. Thank you. So as a reminder, we are going into the Working with Dreams workshop in 55 minutes. The link again has been put in the chat. So if you are not a magical membership member, please do click on the link and you're welcome to join us. And then you will have the recording to watch back at any time that you like. We do have the students' Q&A tomorrow. So if you are a student of Peter's, if you've purchased any of his courses products, then you are welcome to join us tomorrow. And we start at the normal time tomorrow, which is 10 a.m. UK time. So back to the normal time, I think, are we?
That's it.
Oh gosh,
I've looked up myself actually.
Yeah, you know, we are. Yeah, we are. It's back at the normal time tomorrow, 10 a.m. UK time. If you are a student, please come and join us. And if you are a student and you're not already in the MeWe group, then we encourage you to come and join us in the MeWe group as well, where we all share questions and experiences and concerns and joys and celebrations, etc. So we welcome you there as well. If you are not a student, but you want to join us in the MeWe group, then you just have to purchase something. So you can head over to the website, or you can go over to the online school and see what takes your fancy. I think that's it. Thank you very much, everyone. I'll stay on for a few more minutes just so that people have access to the link if they need that. And we will speak, for those of you on the workshop, again in 54 minutes. Thank you very much, everyone.
Okay. See you all later.
Thank you. Yay, I'm still here if anyone's got any questions for me. Is Annika still on? Annika, yes, I'm going to share that link for you now. Sorry, I was typing and reading and doing all sorts at the same time.
I saw the link.
Now, you want the link for the Psionics course?
It's not membership then. Or what?
Sorry?
Someone put the link of the membership.
I'm sending you the link to the Psionics course, because you asked for the link to the Psionics course. Is that right?
Okay. Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the one I'm about to share with you now. I'm just going to the course itself now, and then I'll get that over to you.
Okay, thank you.
So if you follow this link, and then it is the first course that you see. Oh, no, it's already been put in. There we go. Admin has done it for me. Thank you very much. I'm working with one hand. I've got my laptop balanced on my knees because I had to come and plug my laptop in. So, yeah, you should have that.
So this is one course, and afterwards you pay the other one.
So you'll need to do the first course so that you have an understanding of what Psionics is and how to use the plate. And then once you've completed the first course, then it's entirely optional as to whether you purchase additional talismans. That's up to you. But you just start with the first course. That's all you need. And then the rest is optional.
So also buying a plate is optional?
No, the plate comes with the first course. So you get everything you need in the first course. And you get a few talismans as well. The additional packages are just extra talismans that you can use on the plate that you get in the first course. So the first course is everything you need to get you going. Okay. Everything else is just an add-on.
Okay, thank you.
You're very welcome. Much.